We're really thankful to come together to worship tonight, and got a couple of notices before we start. First of all, we've got singing after the service, and we hope to get started at around 8 p.m. So we'll have some drinks between the service and the singing time. Secondly, the prayer time tonight will be open prayer, so it'll be nice to be able to have several of us pray tonight. So as we go into a time of open prayer a bit later on. Maybe have a think about what we might be able to pray together during that time. But before we get going with our first song, shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much as we come to you this Easter Sunday evening, that, Lord, you have brought new life, that you've brought hope and a sure salvation into our lives through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that death and sin no longer have the victory. We thank you, Lord, that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be brought into your family. We thank you, Lord, that your love is so great that it stretches out even to the worst of all sinners. And that, Lord, even today, you are there saving lives and bringing them into your family. And we pray that tonight might be a time of real blessing for us as we meet together. We pray, Lord, our hearts and minds will be full of worship to you. For, Lord, you alone deserve all the praise and all the glory. Lord, without you, there was no way we were ever going to be saved. There was no one that was ever going to die for us other than your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And so, Lord, we with so much reason to praise, with so much reason to be thankful, we pray that tonight will be a night of true blessing and where your name will be glorified and honoured as it's deserved, and that our hearts might be melted by your love. So, Lord, come and bless us in our worship then this evening. Help us to do it wholeheartedly. Help us to do it meaningfully. And through it, may your name be praised. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight John will be preaching from the second half of the psalm that he spoke on Good Friday evening. And so that's Psalm 22. And the title of the sermon tonight is The Resurrection Triumphs of the Messiah. So we look forward to hearing more of that psalm a bit later on. And with that in mind, we're going to sing our first song, See What a Morning. And it was verse 3 in particular, as I went through this afternoon, that stood out. And it seems to summarise the Christian's response to the resurrection. One with the Father, Ancient of Days, through the Spirit who closed faith with certainty, honour and blessing, glory and praise to the King crowned with power and authority, and we are raised with him. Death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered, and we shall reign with him, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. Let's stand and worship together.
Good evening. We are reading from Matthew for the first verse, the first chapter, chapter 28. This is page 835 from the Church Bibles. Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you'll see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age."
We're going to spend some time now in open prayer. And so I would encourage you to pray loud and maybe to keep the prayer short so we can have many people pray. But please do feel free to pray more than once. And I think we've got a lot to be thankful for today when we think of Jesus' resurrection, and may that be the subject of our prayers tonight. So let's pray for a little while, and I'll pray to finish in a few minutes.
Father, we thank you that as we heard this morning, Lord, the story does not stop with Good Friday, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that because of that we can call it Good Friday. And Lord, that we can celebrate today Christ rising from the dead, Christ defeating death and sin, and Christ defeating Satan. Lord, we just thank you for that sacrifice that you made for us, Lord. It's impossible for us to truly understand what that costs you, Lord. But Lord, we thank you that through your grace, you sent your Son into the world to die and to rise again so that we could be saved. Lord, we thank you for that amazing blessing, Lord. We thank you that it is all of you and that it is through your love. And Lord, we pray that each one here tonight will truly know Jesus Christ as their own Savior. We pray pray for those that don't yet know Christ in that way. We pray that you'd open their hearts and that you would make them ready to hear your words even today. And Lord, we just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit amongst us to work in us tonight. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, we thank you that you have, according to your mercy, caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Services advertised maybe, and that there might be a stirring of interest for you. I pray that many who do not know you might come to know you this Easter and might come to know the hope that we have.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing love that drove you to such a sacrifice for us. We're so undeserving of that love. We're so undeserving of the sacrifice that allows us to be reunited to you. But we thank you for that love that was shown so amazingly in Jesus' death on the cross. And I thank you that that love follows us still. We can all see in our lives the amazing gifts of grace that you give us. We thank you, Holy Father, for how much you love us. And do help us to love you more. Amen.
Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to celebrate this day where Jesus conquered the grave and conquered death so that we can have those floodgates open, where we may enter in. We thank you so much that you call sinners to repent, and because of what Jesus did on that cross and in his resurrection, we can be saved and have eternity to look forward to in heaven with you, which is far better. And Lord, we just pray that those that have heard messages today, that have had stony hearts towards you, have been hard towards you, Lord, we've had them softened, we've had them melted. We just pray even now that your Holy Spirit will be working in those lives. Amen.
Dear Lord, how we do thank you that here in the past few days we've been able to remember again, Lord, particularly the wonderful work which our dear Saviour accomplished there in Jerusalem all those years ago. Lord, how we do thank you, Lord, for his sufferings there on the cross, Lord, that we were reminded about on Good Friday, Lord. Lord, what a good day that was, Good Friday, Lord. The wonderful atoning death of our dear Saviour, Lord, that he took our sins upon himself and nailed them to the cross. And Lord, what a wonderful day today is, Lord, that we can be so thankful, Lord, that that death was accepted, Lord, and that Jesus rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Lord, and we give you thanks in our Saviour's name. Amen.
Father, we thank you so much for your amazing grace. We thank you for the obedience and the love of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we can look forward to an eternity with you because of what happened at that first Easter. And Lord, how could we ever repay you? We thank you that you require nothing from us other than our faith in Jesus Christ. So Lord, where we have faith, please strengthen it. Where there is no faith in our hearts, Lord, please grant it, we pray. We know it can only come from you and your Spirit. For Lord, you deserve all the glory and all the praise. I'll praise because you're sovereign. I'll praise because you reign. Praise because you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise because you're faithful. Praise because you're true. Praise because there's nobody greater than you. Amen. Well, we're going to read again, and we're going to look at the passage that John will be speaking from tonight. So if you could open your Bibles to Psalm 22, and we're going to look at it from verse 21. So the first half was covered by John on Good Friday afternoon, for those of you that were here. So we're going to read from verse 21. Psalm 22. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the home of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the wicked, of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even to the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Well, we look forward to John opening up that passage to us after we sing our next song, Jesus, Prince and Saviour. And the first verse is, Jesus, Prince and Saviour, Lord of life who died, Christ, the friend of sinners, mocked and crucified. For a world's salvation he his body gave, lay at last death's victim, lifeless in the grave. Let's stand and worship together.
For our world's salvation, give his voice. Well, normally on Easter Sunday, we go to the Gospels or the letters in the Bible. And quite rightly, we were in the Gospels this morning, and perhaps in the build-up to today, you've been reading in the Gospels, or perhaps something in the letters of Paul. But the resurrection of the Messiah is also anticipated in the Old Testament. Jesus himself makes that clear in Luke 24. It says it should be obvious when he says to those on the road with him, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" So perhaps a little unusually for an Easter Sunday evening, we're in the Old Testament this evening. We're in Psalm 22, which some of us were looking at on Good Friday. It's a special psalm, which I think quite a few of us enjoyed on Friday. We trace the sufferings of the Messiah pointed to in the Old Testament. And there in the first two-thirds, if you like, of this Psalm 22, we noticed eight words and focused on the different aspects of his sufferings. It's known mainly as a psalm of the Messiah's sufferings. And we were pointed to what Jesus went through as we looked at it. But there's more than just suffering in Psalm 22. And this evening we're looking at the last third of that psalm. I was encouraged and heartened this morning that somebody said they're looking forward to this evening to carry on in Psalm 22. Perhaps more than one of you felt like that. Well, it's good if we're wanting to be at the end of this psalm this evening. And I'm calling it the triumphs of the Messiah. So Friday was the sufferings of the Messiah. Tonight is the triumphs of the Messiah. And the tone is more upbeat than it was on Friday. The contents, in a way, are more encouraging. The scene is much happier than it was on Friday. On Friday, when we sang one of the songs, I noticed that for the last verse, we went up an octave or changed key. Maybe you noticed it. We occasionally do that as we're singing, and there's a change to what we're singing for the last verse. Well, I imagine something like that in singing this psalm, that when you get two-thirds of the way through, you up things. The mood changes. It's very different. We saw that this was depicting what David went through. It is a psalm of David, and his the sufferings in some way were related to his experience. But it pointed beyond that much more clearly, really, to Jesus. And we'll find the same this evening, that in some way what happened here was relevant to David. We can't always pin down exactly when it was. But much more than that, it points forward to the triumphs of the coming Messiah. So we're going to go through the last third of the psalm. I summarized the first part in eight words, if you remember, if you were here on Friday. We're going to pick out some just key words. I'm going to summarize it by some words this evening. Just got six. You've got less this evening. You've got six words this evening. The rest of this psalm speaks of resurrection. It speaks of resurrection. So the earlier part of this Psalm 22, they're depicting, weren't they? Do you remember? An execution, really. The sufferer was surrounded, his hands and feet were pierced, he was in the dust of death, even his clothes were being distributed, and then a big change happens. And you notice it really at the end of verse 21. Not all the translations pick it up here, but I think this is the best point to notice it. It's certainly by verse 22, but I think you get it at the end of verse 21. From all this suffering and difficulty, from this execution scene, you then get in verse 21, halfway through, "You have rescued me." Literally, you have answered me. The one who wasn't answered in verse 2, remember that feeling forsaken, that God was far off, not hearing his daytime prayers or his nighttime prayers. But now you have answered me. The one who felt despised and forsaken is certainly not like that before God now, because in verse 24 he goes on to say, for he has not despised or bore the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. So a big change happens at the end of verse 21. The mood changes. I very much respect the writer Dale Ralph Davies. I've got quite a lot of his Old Testament commentaries. He gives a nice little illustration about that in his what he says about this psalm. He goes back to 1918, when there was a small hull steamer making its way up the English Channel. The lookout man noticed a white line coming swiftly toward the ship. No doubt about it, it was a torpedo from a German submarine, which was, right at that moment, rising to the surface to view the deadly damage of its work. The lookout naturally gave a shout, and everyone on board ran to the side of the ship. But it was hopeless. Nothing could save them. It was too late to turn the ship. And all knew that in a few seconds they would be blown to bits. Then the writer said an amazing thing happened. Only a few yards from its target, something went wrong with the mechanism of the torpedo. It reared its nose out of the water, turned course, and shot straight and fast on the very path it had just traversed. Before those hapless British seamen knew what had happened, they saw the torpedo smash into the German sub and blow it immediately to the bottom. That is how verse 21c, you have answered me, should strike us, coming from verses 12 to 21. It is impossible relief out of hopeless despair. A massive turnaround. Facing death, as we heard this morning, and then the whole situation changes. And he's not dead after all. Instead, the writer is very much alive. In fact, he's got something to pass on. Verse 22, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. That verse is quoted in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing of your praise. And the one who is saying it there is accredited to Jesus. That it's Jesus telling his brothers of the change that has happened. The one who through suffering and death, by the grace of God, had tasted death for everyone, but who is now crowned with glory and honour. Jesus is not left alone, deserted, abandoned on the cross. But he is there with a message for his friends, telling of what he has done. It pictures life after death. It pictures resurrection here in Psalm 22. And don't you just love it? We read it, didn't we? Charlie read it for us in Matthew 28. When it says in verse 5 of Jesus, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. And today we enjoy the wonderful news pointed to in this psalm, the theme of resurrection as a Messiah, not dead, but living. And quite amusingly, in a way, across the centuries, the Jews were singing of the resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah, for many centuries before he even came. So it speaks of resurrection. And then if you look at your Bibles, you'll see that also this section speaks of praise. Can you see it there? Have a look. Can you see the word praise in the last third of the psalm? Have a look and shout out the verse number if you can see the word praise in this psalm. Verse 23. Any others? 22. 25. 26. So at least four times, and that's just the word praise. It's implied by other things. I will praise you, verse 22. Praise him, verse 23. From you comes my praise in the great congregation, 25. Praise the Lord, 26. So prayer has been answered, deliverance has been given, and praising is going on. And who is doing the praising? Well, he's doing the praising, partly, verse 22, in the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Verse 25, from you comes my praise in the great congregation. He's no longer languishing in pain, but he's expressing praise to God, to others. He has been resurrected. But others too are expected to praise. So verse 23, you who fear the Lord, praise him. Verse 26, those who seek the Lord, those who seek him shall praise the Lord. And the resurrection of Jesus is a reason for great praise. It was a reason for praise for Christ. It's a reason for praise for us individually. It's a reason for praise for all believers. Don't you just love the way in which Luke ends his whole gospel? At the end of the final resurrection chapter in Luke 24, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. That's what people can do who realize that Jesus has been resurrected, is alive again. You feel a bit of that sense of praise today? Resurrection Sunday, the news about Jesus, what he's accomplished, how it affects you. Feel a sense of praise today? Oh, it's nice that a good number after the service, hopefully, will have a time of extra singing. We'll be able to express praise on this Easter Sunday. So it speaks of resurrection. It speaks of praise. It speaks of feasting. It's not just praising that is pictured here, but eating. Feasting. Not just scraps, but things that fully satisfy. Verse 26, the afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. The sufferer is eating. Appetite is a sign of health. This person is revitalized. Jesus, of course, ate bread and fish with his disciples Sunday evening. Eating after execution. But it's not just the Messiah himself that's eating. Verse 29, we'll talk of others who, as well, all the prosperous of the earth, eat and worship. Sometimes in those days, when a great prayer was answered, so a desperate situation, prayer had gone to God and the Lord answered those prayers, sometimes the person in carrying out their vows as a result would provide a big meal, a celebration really, a party I suppose, for others to feast out of thankfulness to the Lord. And here is pictured feasting, eating together with others with a sense of joy. And I think it points not just to literal food, but the banquet, if you like, that comes through the Messiah. and what he has done. Jesus is the bread of life who satisfies us with deep spiritual life. Jesus is the one who more than amply covers all our needs. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are forgiven, we are accepted, we are adopted, we are saved. We have true peace, we have true hope, we have true joy, we know true love, we know the Lord ourselves. We feast, and we feast because of Jesus and what he has done, and especially what he's done through the cross and resurrection. Here in verse 26, others are gaining, they're benefiting because of what he's been through. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. May your hearts live forever. It says life is coming through what has been done. Eternal life is coming through what has been done. May your heart live forever. I read this week of a new virtual reality tool. It's called Live Forever Mode. Live Forever Mode. And it's an AI sort of new bit of invention. And in about 30 minutes, apparently, you can set up an avatar of a loved one while they're alive so that you can relate to them when they pass away. Live Forever Mode. Well, you can see that, you know, for some people it would be a desirable thing, but of course, sadly, it's not the real thing, is it? Because they aren't living forever. You may call it live forever mode, but it's not actually the facts. But then you think of Jesus, the one who was raised again, the one who is called the resurrection and the life. And you see what he says. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Everlasting life. May your souls live forever. Well, they can do because of what the Messiah has done. Well, aren't you glad to be sort of feasting in this way on what's been achieved through Jesus? Glad to have eternal life because of him, because you're linked with him. So like this morning, a picture of the oblivion at Alton Towers going down and then coming up the other side. And because Christ has done that for us and we are attached to him, we too will be raised and live forever. Aren't you pleased about that? The feasting that comes through the things we're remembering this weekend. If you want eternal life, you don't need a new bit of software or AI intelligence, or to create some avatar. You need the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to put your trust in him who has been raised from the dead. Well, then we have a bit of a move in verse 27. He's been declaring to the congregation especially. You sense it being a little bit more localized perhaps. But in verse 27, the impact is amplified. And the effects of what's happening go global. They go global. What has happened will be remembered across the earth. It will lead to the worship of God from all sorts of people groups. He carries on in verse 27, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord and he rules over the nations, the earth, the nations. And so that the suffering of an individual, the answered prayer of an individual, the rescue of an individual, having such massive, widespread consequences and impact. What's being pointed to, isn't it, here? What's happened to one individual is going global and is having a universal effect, if you like. Jesus said in John 12, "And I, if I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Jesus, in being crucified, has a magnetic effect, if you like. As those who are spiritually hungry turn to him in their need and know they will be satisfied. And it's the whole range of people that are drawn to him. The news of a dying saviour, of a risen saviour, deserves to be global news. It deserves to be heralded on the World Wide Web. It's worthy of such coverage. And so we get to the end of another resurrection chapter, the one we read, Matthew 28, where Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So today, on all the continents, across the world, people have been, will be, celebrating like we have been, the risen Saviour, Jesus, and the resurrection. And the psalm here anticipates that, and we now enjoy it. It includes both the well-off and the poor and downtrodden, verse 29. "All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive." But the impact is not just geographical. It's also, if we can say, it's chronological. If it's not just sort of space, it's also time and future. This speaks of something which is lasting, something which is lasting, something which is cross-generational, if you like. Some events, they're big news at the time. They're on all the news channels, on all the news feeds. But then some fresh news comes along and they're soon forgotten. It's one of the difficulties, isn't it, with tragedies. You see a tragedy, you hear of it, and people perhaps respond a bit with their pockets, and then the next week there's something else. There's another earthquake, there's something else that happens politically, and everyone forgets what happened the previous week. That's just how it goes. It goes out of the public eye so quickly. But here we have... We don't have a sort of here today, gone tomorrow event. Verse 30. "Posterity," future generations, that means posterity, "shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn." So not just next week, but those that aren't even born yet, when they grow up, will be repeating of this, will be repeating this, will be thinking of this. It's deliverance, it's resurrection, it's feasting, passed on to future generations. Becomes the joyful news of the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. The news of Jesus' resurrection is not just yesterday's news. It is today's news, and it will be tomorrow's news. It wasn't great, those who were here this morning, to see youngsters up the front singing things like "He is risen." The news of the resurrection is worth carrying on through the generations. It will be carried on through the generations. We pray for it here to carry on through the generations. So great is the impact of what this individual did, the way prayer was answered for them and for their resurrection. Global impact, lasting impact. Well, we're nearly done, but we're not quite, because we've got one more point, one more phrase that I'd like to speak about and to end on. And I think you could say it speaks of accomplishment. It speaks of accomplishment. The psalm ends quite emphatic at the end of verse 31. He has done it. He has done it. That's what the generations will say. He has done it. Talks of an amazing work of God, which is finished. It's been completed. It's all been sorted. It could be translated, it is finished. It is finished. Doesn't that take you somewhere? John chapter 19, verse 30. The words of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. Tetelestai, those who are here this morning, a bit of Greek and a all-age service there was, wasn't there? It is finished. The psalm starts with the words of the Lord Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And it ends with something very similar to latter words of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. Jesus, at the end of his sufferings, he's paid the price for sin. Redemption is done. Justice is satisfied. It is finished. It is completed. And maybe we can say it with even greater strength, or echoed even louder, if I could put it like that, after the resurrection. The Bible says Christ was delivered for our trespasses and raised for our justification. His rising from the dead sort of confirms it, guarantees it, makes it sure, makes it clear. Of course, he must have been the Saviour if he was brought to life again after paying the price. It is finished. It is done. It is accomplished. We're looking back on something which has happened. And it's a done deal. And we're enjoying the benefits of it. That sense of thankfulness in response comes in another of the resurrection psalms. Comes in Psalm 118. Let me just read verses 22 to 24. Could it convey something similar? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So with the help of the New Testament, and this evening with the help of the Old Testament, we can rejoice, we can praise, we can feast, we can note a globally impacting message, we can note a lasting impacting message of what God has done through sending his Son, allowing him to go to the cross and being raised again. So many reasons for praise, the triumphs of the Messiah. Well, before we sing our last sing, maybe something of what we've looked at in that last part of Psalm 22 has struck a chord with you, or has made you want to praise God. Well, just in the quietness of your own mind, I give half a minute for people to turn it into their own private prayer. Well, shall we turn then, to our last song, but for some it won't be the last song this evening because there'll be some other singing which will carry on. You're very welcome to stay for that. But we sing this song, "We have heard a joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves." Spread the message all around, Jesus saves. And if we could go to the chorus. He saves Christ. Jesus is alive. The cross, the grave become the victory cry. He saves, be reconciled to God. Tell the nations, Jesus saves. Praise you for the wonderful things that we've been delving in this psalm this evening. We pray that our hearts may be stirred to a sense of praise. We may be drawn to Jesus who died and rose again as our source of salvation. We may see the value of this message to pass on to many others, and we might feel settled in its accomplishment. That it is finished. These things are done. We praise you for that. Amen.